to gather around the table of the Lord this morning, let's just look at one of our verses, one of the verses in our passage today. Verse 29. John the Baptist is there. He sees Jesus approaching him. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Look! The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not just a lamb, but the Lamb. The Lamb. So what lamb is he talking about? Who is the Lamb? Well, there's a couple of possibilities. One, it could be the Lamb of Isaiah 53. Just the previous day, John had been quoting Isaiah the prophet. And now Jesus is approaching, and he's again referring back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 7 reads, "He was oppressed and afflicted." These are the words of Isaiah talking about the coming Lamb of God. "Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Jesus was that Lamb of God of Isaiah 53. Another possibility is Jesus is the Lamb of God that was the Passover Lamb. The time of year right now is the Passover season. People are thinking about the Passover, this annual event in which the Passover Lamb is put to death and the blood of that Lamb cleanses sin. Jesus is that Passover Lamb. A third possibility is just the daily sacrifices. You know that the temple had daily sacrifices. A lamb was slain each day as a continual cleansing of sin for the people of the nation. Jesus continues to cover our sins, to atone us of our sins. So maybe Jesus, in the reference to him as the Lamb of God, is a reminder of the daily temple sacrifice that took place. Another possibility is Jesus is the Lamb of God referred to in the book of Revelation. Throughout the book of Revelation, Jesus is portrayed as that Lamb of God. Let me share with you a couple of many verses from the book of Revelation pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Chapter 5, verse 6. "Then I saw a lamb looking as he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the living creatures and the elders." This is part of John's vision. In the opening chapters, the Lamb of God in the center of the throne. And then Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne with the shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Later on in the Gospel of John, we'll read about Jesus as that living water, the Lamb of God in Revelation chapter 17, again, draws our minds back to the Lamb who is the living water. And the final verse I'll look at, or we'll look at, is Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. This is the closing chapters from the book of Revelation and the final judgment at the end. It says in verse 14, "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them." This is the cosmic war between good and evil. "The Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." So there's five different possibilities on who this Lamb of God is. Which one is John thinking about? Well, I'm saying he's thinking about all of them because Jesus fulfills all of those prophecies and visions of the Lamb of God. We're about to come before the table of the Lord where we celebrate the blood shed for us, the body given for us. We know that in the Old Testament, there was that daily sacrifice of lambs. There was the annual sacrifice of the Passover lamb. And we've mentioned before that these were shadows of the reality to come. Jesus is the reality to come. He is that Lamb of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. We looked at this passage just a couple of weeks ago as we talked about the shadows and the reality that is Jesus. Chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not be have stopped offering sacrifices, for the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilt for their sin? And then finally, verse 3 and 4. But those sacrifices, those lambs of God, those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God who does take away sins. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the blood of an animal cannot take away sin. John tells us the Lamb of God does take away sins. And the idea there is he takes the sins upon himself. He is that substitutionary atonement for us. And not just us, but all people who believe. One of the things that John was communicating here as he was sharing this idea with the crowds gathered around him is that it is not just the sin of Israel that needs to be washed away. It is the sin of all the nations, all peoples, all who would come. Jesus was the Savior that God sent into the world to atone for all of the sins of the world. The same John, the writer of this gospel, will say the same thing in a very concise way in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone, it doesn't matter what tribe, nation, language group, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. That's the need of the world. Cleansing from our sin. That's the greatest need. Listen as we close with this quote. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness of our sins. And so God sent us a Savior. We're going to gather around the table. And we're going to partake of the cup and the bread. That bread represents his body given for us. Just as that annual sacrifice of a lamb was a life given for us. So Jesus gave his life once and for all for us. And then we have the cup, which, as we know, represents the blood of Christ shed for us, the blood as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. It is the blood of Christ, the blood of that Lamb that washes us clean. That is what John was proclaiming to those who were gathered around him in the wilderness.